The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin. Austin, Texas.
Pull your phone out. Do selfie. Reverse your little camera.
Well, once you put the headphones on your hair, whatever you had planned doesn't work.
I'm surprised you don't have any water with you.
We'll get into that. No, when I was driving the 11 hours to get here, I had to pee so bad. So I peed when I got here. So I was like, never again will I drink water.
I know. No, thank you.
No, we're good. Thank you, though.
Thank you, Jade.
Jade is so cute. Doesn't she look so much like Anna Faris?
She does, yeah. Mm-hmm. How many Jades work here? Just total.
Olivia, how many Jades
work? I believe we just have the one.
Don't fucking lie to me.
Is this office giving Jade?
Sure. Sure. Is it not?
I'm going to tell you this. What's funny?
Do we want the coffee make creamer in the shot?
Yeah, I can't believe the crap. This is like the amount of product. Like every girl who has a podcast here has like a holistic brand. And then they serve us like Knott's Berry Farm cookies and coffee mate.
So we have these Smart and Final refined sugar packets. For your Black Rifle Chaga coffee.
Yeah, literally.
For your healing Reiki.
Are we good,
Olivia?
Yeah, we're rolling.
Healing Reiki. It's a lot of high lows.
What kind of Reiki chai is this? You burned all the chakras out of this.
Thank you for coming. I'm sure that it's hard for you to get around with your current
all that's going on in the world. I injured my foot a few weeks ago. The healing process has been fast.
Well, I've been listening to your podcast so much because of my commute now, so I'm a consistent listener. So mm-hmm. Quitting cigarettes, I know, is a big part of that.
Yeah, the last time I quit cigarettes was the last time I broke a bone in my foot. And it really does speed up the healing process.
Yeah, because cigarettes
smoke.
Are just so bad for you. It prevents your body
you look
from
so
healing.
So cool.
When I got my boobs done, I remember the doctor being like, "Don't smoke, because it'll prevent
like,
your
boob really
drop from
healing." I was really
hoping
to have the smoker new titty thing going on, so that's kind of messing up your whole vibe, probably.
Yeah, that was hard for me. I really wanted to be like at the club right away with my new like hard rock,
with my new solid boys. No, I'm a week cig free. I wasn't like a huge crazy smoker before, but it was more of a social smoker, but I found myself doing, you know, a little bit more than social smoking, and I had to break it.
And the foot broke with a one simple footstep.
No, I was, you know, like a military deadlift thing, like one leg is flat and then you like bend down and touch the ground, or you have a weight or something and the other leg goes up.
Mm-hmm. So hard.
Not easy, especially when you're built like me.
Yeah, so much
built like
leg.
A broomstick. So I was getting cocky. Mm. I was warmed up. I was feeling myself a little too much.
But it wasn't like you were like, you didn't like trip. You just
No. I was literally walking the dogs. So I had just done a at-home workout. It was like a kind of Pilates stretch movement thing.
What room?
Kettlebells.
Do we do that outside?
I do it sometimes outside, sometimes in my office.
Yeah.
So I like to do standing.
Feels so much body to be working out inside.
I know. I have to really control my movements or else I'll knock over a fig plant or something. I'll knock over one of my copies of Infinite Jest off the bookshelf or something.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, I was working out. I was doing shit. I was feeling amazing. I unlocked my body. You know, when you like do a real kind of mobility thing and you just walk around it, you feel good. Mm-hmm. And I was walking the dogs, feeling myself, and I was like, what if I bend down and do this one? What if I do this little squat while I'm, you know, just get a pump in?
I wish I had that, bitch. Like,
and it sounded like this.
Drove by.
Just like a knuckle cracking in my foot.
And it felt, then, you said it felt good at first.
It felt euphoric.
Yeah.
In a good, like when you get like a adjustment at the chiropractor or something, you're like, ah, but it's kind of like that. Except it never bruised and never swole up, but it just felt wrong.
Oh my God.
Felt wrong. It's not that bad. You know, I don't have a cast. I don't have to get screws or surgery.
Yeah.
Did not get any painkillers.
I've never broken anything. Knock on plywood.
Knock on solid oak, I'm assuming. Yeah. This is from an old barn in Ojai that we rescued. No, what were you just talking about?
I've never broken anything.
You've never broken anything. That's crazy.
I think I broke my nose once.
You can hear your typing, by the way, Olivia. Just if you could type quieter. And slow. And I think we're done with the coffee for today. The way that you're typing, you can tell.
This is her time to get her work done.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Never mind. Then keep typing. Keep clacking.
I think I broke my nose. I can't really get into the story because it's insanely inappropriate, but something fell on my face. Like,
that's not inappropriate at all until you said it's inappropriate. And now I'm like, did a dick fall on your face? What is inappropriate?
No. I was really drunk and young, and I can feel
like a Kesha song.
I woke up the next day. Kesha is so alarming to me, the music.
Kesha, come on the pod.
Kesha, the friend of the pod.
I know you fucking listen, bitch.
Friend of
the
pod.
Just come on the pod.
And I woke up the next day and I had two black eyes, which I think is an indicator of a break.
Yeah.
And I was in my 20s and it was cool. Like Olivia Malone did a photo shoot with my black.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I was like in my early, we did like a film photo shoot in my cool apartment on 7th Street. Oof. But I can still feel that there's like a little, but it was because it was perfectly hit me right here. It didn't alter. So I don't, that's the
just
only
gave
thing
you
that
a
I could
hot
have.
Girl bruising.
That's the only thing that
gave
I could
me
have.
Horny girl black eyes. Let's do a photo shoot.
The amount that I got hit on with black eyes was alarming. Mm-hmm. It was the darkest, weirdest experience of
the amount of incels that came out of the woodworks who were like,
walking
I didn't
down
know
the street, guys were like, oh my God. And I was like, what the fuck is wrong with this place?
Are you a backyard wrestler? Oh my God.
But I haven't broken anything.
I learned from my therapist that one of my personality trait on the Enneagram scale has a tendency to non-accidental self-injure.
What? This is where I think therapies, we know too much.
That means you injure yourself, but it's not like, I'm not like trying to harm myself. You know what I mean? I'm not like cutting.
This has to be like a name.
It's.
What's the point of labeling this? We've gone too far.
Yeah, I mean, I was, when she.
We don't need this much therapy.
When my therapist told me that, I was like, there's got to be a better way to brand what you just said. non-accidental self-injury, which means like.
And this is like a
you
thing
clumsy?
That happens. Yeah, you just call that clumsy.
Yeah. But I think it's.
You're also almost 7 feet tall. Like you're going to be clumsy. The world's not built for you.
I'm hitting people. I'm getting hit. It's what happens. But it's a thing that I've.
What else does she label you? What are also these subcategories?
That's on the paywall.
Wait, so this is technically your press tour because your Substack comes out this week.
I was thinking that very thing when I was peeing downstairs in the lobby. I was like, oh shit, I'm on my press tour today. I did an interview before this, which is why I was
with
late.
Who?
GQ.
Oh yeah. Oh my God, me and GQ.
You, GQ, and then Chris and I are doing an interview for a British magazine, some type of journal.
Yeah, of course.
After
they
this.
Love calling it a journal.
Mm-hmm.
How do you guys have time to do? Your schedules are really crazy for how consistent you are with the pods. Because you do, is there two or three a week?
Three a week.
Fuck. I can barely get one in.
Three a week, and I'm doing Olivia's job too.
Oh, yeah. Produce. Do you have to you listen through the whole thing again?
Yeah.
Fuck.
So we record Sundays, Mondays, and Wednesdays, and then we release Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And we record it, do it over Zoom, interview people, and then immediately after I edit the entire episode, add music, ad breaks, mix it, master it, upload it, all that shit.
You get a lot of ads that you don't have to record yourself, which I'm really jealous of.
No, we do get most of our ads we record ourselves. It's so much easier doing a podcast ad read with another person who is also financially invested. If it's yeah. You can tell when someone's doing an ad read and it's just themselves, and you could, like, when you're watching SNL and you see them looking at the cue cards the whole time, and you're like,
I love how SNL you guys are, because I'm a huge SNL girly, like, have been my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And when I tell that to people, they're like, what? Like, they act like I'm some weird outlier that, like, SNL has, like, been lame for so long and nobody looks at it anymore. But it's such a huge part of our culture.
Nowadays telling somebody you read the newspaper and they're like, what?
Yeah.
Is that like the TikTok news on paper?
I read the newspaper on Sundays.
Good. Well, I agree with that. It is similar to that, but
it's important.
Yeah, it's important. I don't fucking know. Yeah, when you're doing it solo, it just feels clinical.
Honestly,
it feels like you're doing it because you have to do it, and you want to sound like you're doing it. You're having fun doing this ad read.
I'm
and it's
very
easier
lucky
with somebody else.
That
you
all...
and I can run a couple.
Yeah, great. You're right. I love that.
There's a day rate, but yeah, we'll talk. Honestly, we'll do it once for free and then we'll start trying. But it's always a big pet peeve of mine, not for your podcast specifically, but just podcasts
in
general.
No way you listen to my podcast.
Where you're listening. I was listening to it on the way over here.
Just to like catch a vibe?
Of course. I mean, I listen when there's some episodes are more up my alley than other ones. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a girly podcast. Same with you guys. When you have like an obscure music person on there, I'm like, I'll listen to your intro and then I'm...
No. Every minute of our podcast is good. Even if the guest is bad, we make it good.
Well, because it's just you two talking to each other. This is actually what I wanted to say, which is like so funny about your podcast. Is it's like, it doesn't even really matter who you have on. Because
exactly.
You could just be ripping on the person that you're with and then you guys are just having a conversation.
There's a lot of ways you can do it. As long as your goal is make this a good entertaining hour of something for me to listen to during my shitty day. It doesn't matter who the guest is.
Whose idea was the podcast?
It was kind of collectively both of ours, but it spawned off of a tweet where Chris and I were joking around right when quarantine happened. It was like the week of, and he tweeted like, should Jason and I FaceTime each other and record it and upload it as a podcast?
Oh, that's why you have the little FaceTime sound.
It is, yeah, exactly. And then a lot of people were like, yeah, we need... You know,
something to laugh at.
I finished Bridgerton last night. I need fucking something. Need something while I'm making this sourdough. And then we did that. And then we did it for almost a year. And then I was like, all right, it's starting to get serious. So then I started putting more care into it, giving it the full production.
I mean, can you really believe what a transform? I mean, I feel like it's done a lot.
Yeah.
Both of you.
It's been great. I mean, I'm grateful. I'm happy every day that I get to make a living having fun and doing exactly what I want. And I mean, I don't really do anything that I don't want to do. And that's sort of, that's all that you can ask for out of life, right?
If you're a longtime listener, you might know that I've been drinking AG1 for like 2.5-3 years. I started drinking AG1 daily after I asked a girlfriend of mine what was responsible for so much of her glow. And I could feel a real difference in my daily health. I had much more energy. I noticed I felt more relaxed. I noticed my skin glowing. My stomach was flatter. And that's because AG1 is a foundational nutrition supplement that supports your body's universal needs like gut optimization, stress management, and immune support. And since 2010, AG1 has led the future of foundational nutrition, continuously refining their formula to create a smarter, better way to elevate your baseline health. I recommend AG1 to all my friends and family because it truly is a baseline. If you do nothing else the rest of the day for your health, you know that you have taken everything you need to give your body everything it needs. AG1 has a team of doctors and scientists. It's tested for 950 contaminants. It's NSF certified for sport. It is formulated based on the latest science and maintains the highest quality standards. I especially love AG1 and really depend on it when I'm traveling. I always post videos of like AG1 in water bottles, especially when we're in another country, because your digestion and your system gets so thrown off when you're traveling, and it's the one thing that I can do to keep right on track. AG1 is the supplement that I trust to provide the support my body needs daily, and that's why they've been a partner for so long. If you want to take ownership of your health, it starts with AG1.
Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. Just go to drinkag1.com/best. That is drinkag1.com/best. Check it out.
Are you looking for some good, clean positivity? Good. Me neither. I'm Maddie Murphy, and I host The Bad Broadcast, a weekly comedy podcast dedicated to talking about everything we love to hate. I searched my whole life to find my passion. Little did I know, I had been practicing my true talent every single day, complaining. Join me every Monday wherever you listen to podcasts, and be sure to follow me on Instagram at The Bad Broadcast to answer our weekly questions and for a chance to be featured on the show. See you there.
Are you still hitting the ones and twos?
Yeah, I'm DJing Andy Bargani's wedding in New York in a couple weeks.
Oh, cool.
But I'm DJing.
You just gifted him olive oil.
Like, he needs another fucking thing of olive oil, right?
Well, guess what? Ours is superior.
No, I'm just kidding. I have a big, I've got my 5-gallon jug in the kitchen right now. The shelf that it's on is like.
We're coming out with smaller ones.
No, you shouldn't. I mean, I take it. You do have to, unless you have like a boba straw with
it.
Also,
the
really
price
tough.
Of olive oil has gone up 40% this year. So those are now, I mean, I had to raise the price. Like, retail on those is like $110. If we're just doing like price per ounce, like
global
warming was so hot in Sicily, all over Europe last summer. It was crazy that a lot of the olives didn't get mature.
It was a bad yield.
It was bad. It was really bad.
Damn.
So, but then our little ones will be
grateful for my olive oil. I'm not going to.
$48. I know. I want it once we like relaunch and the whole thing comes out. We're like, everybody who's been paying $60 for this is very lucky because the little half size will be $48.
I got in on the ground floor early.
Mm-hmm. I still have some extras for friends and fam.
Oh, nice. Turn one into an NFT or something, maybe. But yeah, that's cool. That's exciting. But yeah, I'm DJing a little bit. Selective stuff. I'm playing a festival.
What festival? Oh, can I get tickets to that?
You're already on the list.
Great. Thank
Mostly
you.
Because you live.
Yeah, it would be rude.
In the same place, you know. it's like the music festival is sort of
in
made for
yard.
You.
Yeah,
it's right there.
When Davide will see that like a festival's happening, he's like, why is nobody talking to us about this? He thinks that like everything that happens in Pasadena should be run by us.
Yeah, like somebody from the city should come with a brochure and like, I just wanted to let you know there's a music festival happening.
He just thinks our opinion should be like, you know, he's like, can we amplify this in some way? Like, how can we make this better?
Can we signal boost this jazz festival?
Yeah, we just need a little, Pasadena needs like.
Would they let him on the city council?
I mean, he's not even an American citizen, so I don't know what the rules are about
that. Okay, that's going to be our first step.
I don't know if he wants to go full.
He's sort of the streets champion. He's not doing it through the proper channels, but the neighborhood considers him to be a council person.
I don't think his particular neighborhood in San Marino, like, I don't know if they fully. I would like to know what the group chats are.
They're not digging his vibe a ton yet?
Now I'm in the group chat for the neighborhood. He's not. Because he wouldn't even, you know, he would just mute it or delete it. But
group
like,
chat is for women. Why would I ever? That kind of thing. Wait, the group chat for his place of business or your house?
No. The place of business that like Mission Street,
yes,
like all the business owners have a group chat.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very serious. And I am curious what was spoken about of us before I was added to the group chat because even like my friend's mom gets her hair done at like the fancy salon next to Davide. And she was like, you know, people are talking about the fact that there are round tables and chairs in the front and it's, you know, he can't put a cafe there. And I was like, Debbie, he's not putting a cafe there, but there is a patio in the front. He's not charging for coffee, but he makes people coffees. I was like, who are you conspiring with? And I realized there was a bunch of little old ladies talking about it.
Right. And also, you could put a cafe there. I mean, just legally speaking, you could open a business in a city. That's the thing that 100%. You could do.
But we're going to open our restaurant on that block.
People are afraid of loitering. And they don't want to have an element that's unpredictable.
The newness is, I think, scary to people.
Yeah, of course.
But I understand it. Listen, us Eastsiders, it's up to us to elevate keep the original culture there, of course, but I think it's up to us to bring some newness to the neighborhoods.
I'm shepherding it in.
It's a little stale.
I like it stale.
We don't have a lot of restaurants.
That's true.
Asian food, we are locked and loaded.
True that.
That's luckiest people in the world.
Whereas I have Armenian food on lockdown.
Which I was going to say.
One can only eat so much of that per week, though.
Yeah, I can't.
Unless
you know,
you're Armenian, of course. Then you should eat it every day.
It's the same thing with Davide. Like, I can't eat pasta every day. He can.
Not even gluten-free.
Listen, I'm a white chick. I want chicken and some veggie sides, you know?
I want zucchini with nothing on it, motherfucker.
No, I really want like a good, I want like, you know what I would like Pasadena to have like a Napa adjacent, like, you know, a seasonal California with a French influence restaurant.
You want like a brie and turkey sandwich with avocado?
Yes.
Maybe a dried cranberry is in the chicken salad?
What's that? There's a place in Atwater people love, starts with a P.
Proof Bakery?
People say that Proof is great.
I used to like Proof, but they changed, so I don't go there anymore.
I think we should detour and really stick here.
Mm-hmm.
I never want to say anything negative about restaurants, but I think I would like to give my opinion.
At least not publicly.
No.
Privately.
Everyone's like, we should give reviews on... Like, Pia, will you give restaurant reviews? And it's like, I would never say anything bad about somebody else's business, but there are places that get a lot of play, and I'm like, it's not deserved.
Yeah, I mean, as somebody who is a newfound literal professional restaurant critic, it is a thing that it's hard to grapple with. The more you do it, the harder it becomes. It's kind of interesting that way.
Have you been to Donna's?
I have not been to Donna's. I've heard good. I've heard bad.
Same. I've heard it described as an Instagram restaurant.
Yeah.
And I've heard it described as a great meal.
I've also heard that despite it being an Instagram restaurant, the food is actually good. But then I'm like, how good can an Instagram restaurant's food actually be? And will the flavor be good?
I know.
Or will it
looks good.
Will it align with me spiritually? Probably not.
I don't think the vibe will align with me.
No, it is tough.
I went to Gras recently.
Gras. I've never been there. I've heard of it. It's like pizza.
Yeah, it's good. Great. They're big on fermentation.
That makes two of us.
So
good for the gut health, right?
So yeah, necessary.
Ooh, baby.
So
all I eat is focaccia. I'm a size zero. Stuff like that.
It's just different in Italy.
It's house made.
And I loved the food. But the restaurant's really pretty, but like it was very, I was like, this is Portlandia. Like the waiters and how we were treated by the waiters and the weird music playing. And there was a.
Did they tell you the name of the chicken that they used for the eggs?
It was so, no, like she was too busy to even, it was very like, we're lacking the warmth. I want someone to remember my name and be nice. You know, I want to have like a weekly place I can go to where those are my people.
Well, it sounds like you need to start your own business.
We're going to open Barbara and Chini. I need a lot of money.
Friends, dig deep, please.
That's what I'm in the process of putting together right now.
The GoFundMe is open now. Yeah, I think that the reason why people come up with ideas for businesses or projects or art or music or movies is you're like, I love this thing. It doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got to disrupt that.
I guess I have to be the city council person, or I guess I have to be the president because nobody else is doing it.
Are you doing reviews in your Substack?
I don't know. I mean, like if I was like working for like a newspaper and I was tasked to review restaurants, I would just do it because they're like, this is the new hottest restaurant. This is the Frog Club. You gotta go review Frog Club because everyone wants to hear the review about
Frog. Is
that
a thing?
It's the new restaurant from the horses. One of the female owner of horses opened a restaurant
in
New York called it used to be called Froggies, and now it's Frog Club.
Yeah, I thought it was Froggies.
I prefer Froggies. It's cuter.
Froggies is way cuter.
It plays cuter, but there's a lot of people are talking about it, good and bad.
Horses really made it just right back to where they were before that whole drama.
Yeah. So if somebody was telling me what to do, Tokyo Vice style, you got to do this.
Yeah.
Then I would do it, but since I'm freelancing, I can do whatever I want. Like it has to be a restaurant that I like, that I think could change. There's like a lot of things have to happen for me to feel like I could write, you know, 1500 words about this. And I just, places like that don't really come across my desk too much. I need the real inspo or else there's no reason to do
it. I also think food is so, like, people, we're all just different. Food is also very personal. Like, what some people like and what some people want out of a dining experience is extremely different. Yeah. So I think putting, like, this is why I've never been like, you know, I went to Bub's and Grandpa's last weekend.
Bub and Grandma's.
Grandma's. I was like, this was not for me. Mm-hmm. But I didn't like, and my mom too, she was like, I wouldn't come back here. Mm-hmm. But I, when someone was like, oh, you should like post what you think. And I was like, what am I to shit on a beautiful restaurant that does make great food, but because I didn't care for like the way that the, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They thought everything through and it totally works for them.
Yeah.
But for all the experiences that have led me to where I am in my life currently, I think a veggie sandwich is weird.
Whereas I love a veggie sandwich, but you were talking about before, you just want a place you can go to weekly. They're warm. There's all the staff there are your friends and family, and you feel a sense of belonging and you're having conversations with them and you know about each other's lives. And that is a beautiful thing. You like it. I also like it. But there's a large swath of people
who don't
want to have a conversation with their server. Mm-mm. They don't want to have to feel like they have to look them in the eye when they come and fill their water up. They want to have a autonomous dining situation. And, you know, you could say there's nothing wrong with that because that's just what they prefer.
There were a couple great restaurants when I was growing up in Pasadena where we had that experience. And so I long for that.
Yeah, I do too. I think any person who's not a fucking sociopath should long for that. You know, like you at that point, don't even go out to eat at a restaurant.
Yeah.
You know, just go to like a kiosk.
What you make at home. Did you make those spring rolls last night?
Carolyn made the spring rolls. Mm-hmm. But yesterday I made a egg sandwich on English muffin and I made the English muffin.
Oh, I saw that. Did you have breakfast for dinner?
We did not have breakfast for dinner. We had sweet green.
That
for
was
dinner.
A later gram.
Shout out to sweet green. I'm always later gramming. I can't have people knowing what I'm eating exactly at that moment. But I also love, I love kind of edging the later gram. Like whenever we're recording a podcast in a hotel and we know that we're going to be checked out before the episode goes up. It's fun to just say your room number at the hotel and to know that in 8 hours, you know, 100,000 people will know exactly, can come knock on my door and I'll be there like, but then it doesn't happen. It's fun.
We've all had embarrassing BO moments. I, as a young lady who developed early, was the first in my elementary school to have BO, which was a very fun, exciting barrier for me to break in my class. But listen, we have so many more tools and solutions now than we did when I was 10 years old. And fortunately for us, Loom Whole Body Deodorant is making it so none of us ever have to worry about BO again. Unlike certain other DOs, Loom is powered by mandelic acid to control odor in a new way. Loom delivers outrageous 72-hour odor control everywhere from your pits to your feet and yes, even your privates. I don't know if you've seen the founder talk about this brand on TikTok, but I have extensively. That's how I ended up purchasing Loom and I will never go back to anything else. In fact, it was a patient's concerns about private part odor that originally inspired the OBGYN who invented Loom. Fast forward 6 years, her game-changing whole body DO has now earned over 300,000 five-star reviews from people like me who left feeling confident from head to toe. And we have an amazing offer for all of you. Of course, you get $5 off Loom starter pack with code PIA at loomdeodorant.com. I also have gently just slid this over to Davide's side of the bathroom. Listen, it reduces or prevents sweat. It's 100% natural. It's organic. It's fragrance oil free. It's dermatologist recommended. It's truly an incredible product. I put it on in multiple places, just like right after I get out of the shower. I put a little dollop in my hand and I rub it in various parts of my body. And I know that I am like good to go literally for 72 hours, which is such an incredible feeling. You just feel so clean and gorgeous. So control body odor anywhere with Lume deodorant and get $5 off your starter pack, which is 40% off when you use promo code Pia. That's lumedeodorant.com and promo code Pia.
Optimal Bio specializes in bioidentical hormone replacement therapy, or BHRT. BHRT is the exact same molecule that your body produces, so your body knows how to metabolize it. Optimal Bio doses your hormone dose off your blood work, so it's totally personalized to you. When we age, our hormones decrease, but because of environmental factors, our hormones are decreasing at a much quicker rate. Hormones are the foundation of our health, with hundreds of functions in our bodies. The top symptoms Optimal Bio treats every day are fatigue, brain fog, trouble concentrating, anxiety, depression, and trouble sleeping. And when your hormones are in optimal range, it's preventative health, keeping you healthy as you age, your heart, your brain, your bones, and your health overall. Optimal Bio has locations across the Southeast and Austin, Texas. Visit OptimalBio.com and use code BEST for 20% off your consultation. That is OptimalBio.com and use code BEST for 20% off your consultation. Visit OptimalBio and use code BEST for 20% off your consultation. That's OptimalBio.com and use code BEST for 20% off your consultation. That's code BEST for 20% off your consultation. You can visit OptimalBio.com or OptimalBio on Instagram for more information. I like how up to date your podcast is. I try to take that approach, but what I really need to be doing is like batching a lot of them and getting them in, because then I turn things in late and then poor Olivia gets mad at me.
Yeah, I mean, there's no wrong way to do it. It's like, do you want to make the nightly news or do you want to make a movie? Some things take longer. And,
but you guys talk about a lot of cultural references, so they are
time sensitive.
Yeah,
they are time sensitive. But you know, it's important to remember to hopefully try to make it evergreen as much as possible as well. So it's amazing that with technology and social media, anybody in the world can become a cool, famous person. If they're talented enough, they don't have to have connections and money to rise.
Mm-hmm.
And that part is amazing and beautiful. But the dark part is it's a little too easy for most people to create content. And it's easier for them to react to a reaction than to create something from scratch. It's easier to make a remix of a song than to write a song.
Mm-hmm. You know?
But also I say that as somebody who does a podcast where we react to what is going on in the world. So I'm no different.
Yeah, but it's your banter that makes it funny. You guys can talk about anything. Like you talking, what did you talk about that was so funny? Oh, your stupid drink order at Major Domo. You drank
With the three martinis.
You drank a fucking mezcal martini and didn't even realize it was mezcal. That's super off brand for you.
Girl, I know. Do you know how hard it was to admit that? Also,
I'm
I was
sure.
in front of, I, this is,
You're, who were you with?
Luckily, most of the people there were Australian, so it went over their heads. But one of the people that worked there was an employee of the restaurant. So she must have felt maybe a little uncomfortable as somebody who is a representative of the brand, seeing a drink order be flubbed thrice.
I just, like, the moment that the waiter came back and then was like, oh, I'm sorry, this is the wrong drink. This is a mezcal martini, like that moment to me is so funny.
I turned into a ghost
because you already had to correct the order to get the right thing, and then you were just enjoying the wrong thing blissfully.
Yeah,
like all your authority went out the window.
It was a real the meme of the person in the cartoon Inside the House that's on fire and he says this is fine. That was me drinking the mezcal martini. I was like, oh, this is a plain Grey Goose martini with lemons. It tastes like rubbing alcohol from CVS. And I'm like, it's good.
You said it's just like pop-off. We have had so much pop-off in our house growing up because my dad used to make limoncello.
Sure. And he wanted to start with the good stuff.
And he would start with pop-off. And so when we would run out of vodka, we would drink that as a last resort.
The pop-off or the limoncello?
The pop-off. I hate limoncello.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up drinking a little pop-off just because it was the cheapest thing.
Yeah, but that is gasoline.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
Fuck me.
Comes in a plastic bottle.
It's a deep burn.
It is a deep burn, but when you make the limoncello, it doesn't matter, right?
What do you eat for breakfast? What's your breakfast situation right now? Because you are a bit of a biohacker health. We're on the same milk wave right now.
We're on a milk wave?
Mm-hmm. Are you doing A2?
Is that like AG1?
No, the A2 milk.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, you're just doing whole milk.
Oh, you poor thing. You're only drinking whole milk.
Oh my God, you're missing all of the nutrients.
You poor broke bitch. Wait, does it have to do with
the
pasteurization?
Alexander milk?
Alexander, like the brand of the dairy?
Yeah. You can get it at Whole Foods.
Okay. The brand of the milk is called Alexander.
Yeah, you've seen
Alexander
it.
Farms or something. Yeah, I've seen it. Alexander doing that other people aren't?
The A2 whole milk has not been ultra-pasteurized.
I know you don't know anything.
It has casein in it, and the casein in it allows it to be, like, lactose intolerant people can drink A2 milk. It's much easier for digestion. It has the fat little, which is my favorite, the little fat cap on the top.
The cream on top.
The cream, I fucking love, and sometimes I'll scoop it out and...
Oops. I don't. It's like a placenta. It's actually good for you.
I love to scoop that out and eat it. My mom doesn't like that milk because it isn't froth for her cappuccinos. The fat content's too high.
Does Alex make a barista blend?
No, but what was the brand you were talking about that makes a barista blend?
Strauss.
Oh, Strauss.
Strauss.
What makes it a barista blend?
I don't know exactly. I think they do some...
I bet you there's sugar in it.
They might... They do something to it. And I was thinking earlier, I was like... Barista blend, like it's made to be, you know, so I think whatever they do to it, it can't make it taste better. It has something more to do with like,
I love a barista
better.
Blend, but I think it's because they add a little bit of sugar and it makes it just delicious.
It could be that. I mean, I would love to drink raw milk, you know, like they have it at Erewhon.
You were on that tip for a minute. Why not?
It's just kind of a pain in the ass.
It's bad so fast.
There's that. It's hard to drink a gallon so fast, but no, I get a gallon of Strauss. To me, it's my favorite tasting one. I just, whatever, you know, it's good quality and I like the flavor the most. So that's why I drink it. But you know, cereal, coffee, all that stuff.
Oh, you eat cereal.
I don't eat breakfast usually. Sometimes I'll have like an apple and a cup of black coffee, an apple, get some AG1. What is the collagen powder?
Yeah. Oh my God, you're on a collagen tip? You are glowy.
We went to Costco and my friend was like, just buy it. It's
Do
there.
You know
it's
that
like
I
$1,
sent Carolyn healthy Costco haul videos?
Yeah, you infected her algorithm for a good week when we first signed up for our Costco membership. And I was like, just because it's there doesn't mean we have to go buy it.
You have to buy all of it. I love Costco.
And she tries to get me... on board where it's like, yeah, that's a good deal.
Simple Mills, avocado oil, collagen.
I would never use avocado oil. I have free Barancini for life.
I like to use avocado oil as a neutral oil sometimes.
As a neutral oil, if you can afford it. But but it's like, yeah, this is a very good price for a 14-pound brisket, but I don't need a 14-pound brisket right now. I don't need a whole halibut.
I need a lot of snacks.
I can't have snacks in my house.
I eat the Simple Mills almond crackers with hot sauce on them.
I eat a baby carrot.
I love carrots.
I'm just kidding.
No, I know you know. I am actually really into carrots right now. It's just so random.
I'm really into carrots right now. No, I plan to eat carrots for dinner tonight in some way. I think we're going to make a stew of some sort.
Do you guys talk about what's the...
We have a debrief every morning during the dog walks. I'm not joking.
I'm sure.
Yeah, so it's usually the way that we plan our eating, because it's like if you live with people, your roommates or friends or partners or whatever, it's a thing of like, what are we going to do for dinner tonight? Are we going out? Are we cooking? Are we ordering in? All that shit. And we usually, it's like a reaction to what we've already eaten. So if like we've already had, what have we already had this week? And then let's try to find something that is as far away from that as possible.
What are you doing tonight?
We're gonna make a... I have a chicken. I bought a chicken from Fish King in Glendale. And it's been dry brining in my fridge for a couple of days. So I'm going to cook it And she's going to make like a North African kind of stew with some veggies and chickpeas and couscous.
Yeah, I am.
I'm going to roast up a bird. It's going to be delicious. She went to a place in Paris a couple of weeks ago, Chez Omar. It's like a popular kind of Moroccan North African spot.
Yeah,
in Paris.
It's the food in Paris, especially the fucking Moroccan Middle East. I mean, it's just fucking
so she wants to relive that meal with me.
That's so nice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really good at roasting a chicken. I have a technique.
Go on.
This is adapted from the Zuni Cafe technique, which I have dumbed down to be extremely easy, which is you turn your oven on 475, very high, and then you get a cast iron pan, very high. You should be brining that chicken for a couple of days, just a dry situation, but...
Salt it, put it in the fridge, uncovered...
But I have, you want it to get...
It gets so fucking snatched.
So snatched. Mm-hmm. But you don't have to even do this and it still becomes out really crispy and delicious. Sure. So I'll do salt and pepper. Sometimes I'll do a harissa. Sometimes I'll do a za'atar.
Mm.
Anything. You can just do like lemon, oregano, you know, whatever your flavor profile is.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get the cast iron very hot. And then you put the bird in boobies up. And then you go in to the hot oven for like... 10 to 12 minutes.
What is that cast iron sounding like when you put the bird in?
It's such an intense sizzle. You need that raging sizzle. And then you need...
I got a raging sizzle right now, brother.
10 to 12 minutes, you need that thing to be so hot that it start. You see that there's a lot happening. It's not like a slow situation. You see that the...
We're punishing this bird.
The skin is starting to peel back. A lot's happening. Then... You're going to take it out and you're going to turn the oven down just probably like, you know, back down to 450. And then you flip
350.
It. 450. I keep it in the fours.
So you go from 475 to 450. Like that's going to really do fucking much?
Sometimes I'll do like 425. Depends on your oven.
Mm, that's good. Yeah.
And then you just want it to be still really hot, but not like so. So then I flip it. And it should just very easily flip because we have seared that skin and do 20 minutes and then you flip it again in another 20 minutes.
A tray flip?
A tray flip. Sponsor me, Baker. And
for all the pro hoes listening.
And I just outed myself as a big one.
We know.
And you have the crispiest, perfect, super moist, delicious chicken. And Davide's never been like a chicken guy and he like is obsessed when I make this chicken.
Beautiful.
And the yummy sauce. And then you could take, you know, now you have all that crispy, yummy sauce marinade in there, which you can sizzle down. You know, you can take off some of the fat, add something in there, you know, do something with the sauce if you like. But that's my roast chicken.
You can make a stinky gravy out of that.
Mm-hmm.
For a while.
I need to do your boiled chicken.
Yeah, I've been boiling, man. I'm such a boiler. When you go to Major, if you
that's
ever go
That's my favorite
to,
thing at Major Domo.
It's so crazy. But there
he's a Pasadena guy.
Is he?
Mm-hmm.
David Chang?
His kids go to the fancy schools in Pasadena.
They better.
Yeah.
His rich ass.
Very.
He should be living better for how much money that guy's got.
That last thing he made with all the people in it was the... Oh, you talked about this too.
The Netflix show?
The egg whites were not cooked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was bad. It was spermy.
Yeah. And there were so many layers of another decadent item.
Yeah.
But I just kept thinking it's all being nestled on top of that jiggly, raw
like
egg white.
I'm eating caviar, but at what cost? You know what I mean?
Growing up, cereal was one of the best parts of being a kid. But as I got older, I had to watch out for sugar and empty carbs. Magic Spoon has amazing flavors you love, but high protein and less sugar. I've been eating Magic Spoon for many years now because I love a crunchy cereal. I mean, who doesn't? But honestly, cereal doesn't make me feel my best all the time. And that's why I always reach for Magic Spoon. They have all the nostalgic flavors that you love, like cocoa, fruity, frosted, and peanut butter. But it packs 0 grams of sugar and 13 to 14 grams of protein plus 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. And there's only 140 calories a serving. So it's high protein, no sugar, keto friendly, gluten free, grain free, and soy free. I keep bags of it in my car through this pregnancy to like snack on during my drives. Carmella loves it. And pro tip, if you make a bowl of cereal and put an ice cube in it, It just makes it so cold and delicious. And like the little bit of like the watery ice cube is like, I don't know what it is, but it's the best thing ever. I also like to mix the peanut butter and the cocoa together to have like a little chocolate peanut butter vibe. If you go to magicspoon.com/best, you can grab a variety pack. Give it a try today. Be sure to use our promo code BEST at checkout and you save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident about their product that it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they will refund your money, no questions asked. Start your day off right with a delicious bowl of high protein cereal at magicspoon.com/best and use code BEST to save $5 off. Thank you to Magic Spoon for sponsoring this episode.
A staple of my kitchen counter is this very chic, sleek blender that I'm always getting asked about because it's such a fabulous product and I'm always blending things up in there. And it's my Beast Health Blender. It's so fabulous. Okay, so it was founded in 2021 by the former founder and CEO of Nutribullet. So, you know, it's good. Beast is a health and wellness brand, and it specializes in best-in-class tools for blending and hydration. And yeah, they're also meant to catch your eye because after 25 years of industry experience, they're taking blending really seriously, but they also want you to be like a little chic badass that has a gorgeous blender on your counter. So I have the regular, but now I also have the mini. The Beast Mini Blender is a compact countertop blender that outperforms machines triple its size and looks great while doing it. Think of it as your kitchen sidekick that helps you conveniently consume more whole nutrient-dense foods. And at just $99, Beast did an amazing job of making an affordable luxury appliance that does not compromise on quality. You can even attach the leak-resistant straw cap directly to the blender so you can take your creation on the go, which is what I did this morning with my smoothie. It's like a gorgeous, chic little drinkable glass. So I literally just blend my smoothie and I put a straw in it and I'm out the door, which is like unheard of and super easy for me, especially with my crazy commutes in the morning. So obviously I love Beast and I wanted to work with them. And I also wanted to extend an offer for everyone. So if you visit thebeast.com and use code BEST at checkout, you get 15% off your blender, which is incredible. So that's thebeast, thebeast.com and use code BEST for 15% off.
Do you cut stuff ever from your podcast now?
Very rarely.
It's crazy what you guys talk about.
Very rarely. The only time we usually cut something is when a guest says something that they're not supposed to say yet. And not in terms of like they said an awful, offensive thing. It's more of like, oh shit, we're playing Coachella and we haven't announced this album or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
We got in trouble with Hozier.
Why?
I forgot you were pregnant.
Oh my God, I'm so pregnant.
at the end
this
of the
whole time, you didn't realize I was sitting here pregnant?
No. She hides it well.
Wow.
Right?
Okay.
But now that I know that you're pregnant, I really know that you're pregnant. That's all, kind of all I could think about.
You're like, oh, that's why her face looks like that.
No.
I'm joking. What happened with Hozier?
Oh, boy. I put one of his unreleased songs as the closing
music. How did you have it?
They sent me the album, like a digital link to stream it for like press stuff. But they made it downloadable. So I said, all right, I'm going to download
it.
Yeah,
I wouldn't.
I only played like a 20-second snippet at the end.
You get in huge trouble or it was like
we actually
change it.
We initially got in trouble because he has all these rabid fans. So all their fan accounts listened to it, pulled the music sample from the episode, put it on TikTok within an hour. And now hundreds of thousands of people in Reddit forums are like, new music debut, blah, blah, blah. And then the label was like, oh my God, you cannot do that. You have to change it. So I changed it. And then an hour later, they're like, no, this is actually sick. Just leave it. So it ended up being like a positive cool, viral marketing thing. Yeah. Luckily, it doesn't always work out that way.
Yeah, no. Oh my God. When does that album come out?
I don't fucking know. Hozier's a nice guy though. Tall, 6'6".
I heard that.
Yeah.
I listened to the podcast. You, The Daily.
At a certain point, you won't
Rick
be able
Rubin.
To listen to bad podcasts in front of your child, right?
Yeah, we're approaching that. you know, I talk freely in front of her and say a lot of bad words, but I don't think I'll ever have any sort of like language decorum. I think she's just going to have to learn.
There's some words that where like, I'm going to say shit in front of you and like, it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
If you say
my parents
words
always
like that.
Cussed in front of me and they would just be like, we don't talk like this. You know, we don't use that language at each other and we don't use that language in public.
Yeah. I think it's less of that's offensive and more of you as parents being like, I can't let this child know that these words and phrases exist because I don't want them to say like, I don't want my child to say like that's serving cunt just as a principle, not because the C word is very bad and offensive, but it's like, that's setting a bad standard for a child to speak. You know what I mean?
We got to explain that one to her because she's been overusing it a lot lately.
She says it all the time. And I don't think she knows exactly what it means.
My mom cusses a lot. Like my mom's always like, your language is so bad. But I'm like, you and dad, like,
really?
Oh, wait. Oh, my God.
I can't really picture your mom cussing that much.
All I heard growing up my whole life is a parent in another room with, motherfucker, God damn it, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I feel like the toe stubbing is the only hall pass you get with it. Because I remember being a kid, my first memories of seeing, you know, like a parent cuss is like a toe stub.
Yeah.
Where you're like, God, son of a bitch. And you're like, Grandma, you talk like that?
Son of a bitch is such a good one. We actually did that driving home from, we like celebrated my dad's like death anniversary at Parkway Grill on Monday. And we were driving home and Davide was like.
But when you can't get a res at a Royal Chop House.
No, you know what? My mom wanted to do Parkway instead. I had a 5 o'clock at both restaurants just to be safe.
Yeah.
And neither was popping. I was the hostess at the Arroyo Chop House in high school.
Really?
Oh my God.
You ran that shit like the Navy, didn't you?
I made so much money.
Really? Just from being a hostess?
Yeah, because you get 20% of, this is funny, people sue fucking restaurant owners for this now, but I always grew up in every fucking restaurant industry where like tips get shared amongst every fucking person who's like washing the dishes, running the food to the hostess.
We're pooling it.
Yeah. So that 20 or that, it was like 10% or something that I got from everyone. And that's how I like paid for all the furniture for my New York apartment when I went to college.
And you can kind of, you know, sit the cool people in your friend sections and it gets political with that stuff.
It wasn't
maybe.
Cool people.
Someone's
it was
being
rich,
a bitch to you.
Rich
then...
old people wanted table 12.
Right, right, right.
You know, the booths.
Throw
in the
whale
back.
At 12.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to tip.
Sometimes I get slipped a hundo. You know, if you get a personal slippy, then that's yours.
Oh, yeah. Personal slippy. That's all yours. I kind of like that spot. It's like a good, it's a regular people restaurant.
Yeah, I mean, I'm been there. My mom went to high school with the owner. You know, he's like a gorgeous, dapper, locking out a Pasadena man.
Okay.
And he had Parkway. But those restaurants, when they opened, he used to have another restaurant called Crocodile Cafe, and then there was another one in La Cañada. Those restaurants, my mom always talks about this. This is why they have their little like food and wine fest. Because when those restaurants opened, it was the same time that Thomas Keller was opening up restaurants in Napa. Napa was like just becoming a little food empire. And so these were like very forward, expensive, nice places that were like vibing off of like California having this like food renaissance, but their menu hasn't changed since 1986.
Yes, yes, yes.
And
yes,
I know this because every time we go to Parkway Grill, my mom brought me to Parkway when I was literally 2 days old or like 3 days old. They went to dinner there and they like parked me under the seat. And so every time we're in there, she's like, my daughter's now pregnant, was in this restaurant with you. You know, she loves to like have her martini and then tell all the waiters the emotional story of
that's
our.
That's cute.
It's really cute.
We would bring Pia in like an emotional support dog under the table.
If the owner's there, he'll be like, I remember when you were just sitting under the table in here. You know, it's like. That's
and now you're an alcoholic. It's so crazy how time she flies.
Exactly.
But I think it's important to support restaurants like that, that give you a little slice of the way it used to be, even if the food ain't as good.
I kind of want to go in there and be like, can I consult for you for just like 2 months? We just need like minor changes.
Little tweaks.
I think they need to hire a chef. Keep the core things there, but you need a chef.
Do you think that this restaurant doesn't have a chef?
They don't have a head chef. But this is the things that I need Pasadena to ramp up a little bit.
You know, you're going to have to delegate these jobs. There's only so many things that you, a mother of almost two, can do every day.
I'd like to know who your favorite podcast guest has been. I know it's hard. Or maybe someone that surprised you.
Well, I was I was actually
asked, I am this a question former guest of the show too. So
just... I mean, the Pia episodes, of course, legendary. And whenever we do your podcast as well, those are some of my favorite podcasts as well.
Oh, thank you.
When I do yours.
Yeah.
Specifically. There was one that we did with this guy, Jay Maskus. He has a band called Dinosaur Jr. It's like a legendary mm-hmm. kind of indie rock band. And he's notoriously known as being the worst interview of all time. Like every magazine and outlet, you know, VH1, MTV, blah, blah, blah. Everyone's interviewed him. He's awful at giving interviews. Very challenging. And we talked to him for an hour.
You broke him.
We didn't break him. I wanted to. He's unbreakable, which is sort of Kimmy Schmidt style. He truly is unbreakable. So once you stop trying to break someone and just let them, it's not really fighting fire with fire, but just like approaching it as like, this is not a conversation. This is not an interview. This is like a weird performance of some sort.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying it's art by any means, but it's more of like, we're just going to like, say things into this microphone and maybe words will come out kind of thing. But like for example, like people ask him like these thoughtful questions about music and things like that. And he just gives one word answers. He's just like, yeah. And then nothing. And
were you nervous leading up to this because you knew?
I wasn't nervous, but I was just kind of like, let's see how fucked up this fucked up guy is.
Yeah.
And I was like, he was very fucked up. But at one point when, it was like, if you're going to just say one word answers and then give me dead silence, I'll silence you back. And let's see how long we could not talk for. Because I could clean it up and afterwards when I'm editing it to do whatever I want it to be. And then he was kind of hitting a brick wall. He wasn't really feeling it. And then I just said, have you ever had a themed birthday party? I didn't have that question written down. I have no idea why I said it. And he was like, when I was 8, I had a skiing themed birthday party. And then after that happened, he was like, he's just started opening up. And
no!
I was like, skiing? That's crazy. Blah, blah, blah. I was just like, okay. And then he was silent. And then he was like, and then he just started talking about like when he was 8, his mom gave him a birthday party that was skiing themed.
Oh,
and he had a skiing shirt and the cake had a skiing guy on it. And then he told a story about how he broke both of his legs at the same time while skiing. And it actually made all the girls at school like him because he was injured and vulnerable. And he had a wheelchair and casts that you could sign. And he's probably never told that story about the one time he had a skiing birthday party.
That's incredible.
And that's all that matters, you know?
Yeah. Oh my God, that's fucking hilarious.
So sometimes you just have to sometimes throw away the script, you know?
Well, what's funny is you can listen. There are how many times have we all interviewed people where, like, you know, there are people reach out and it's you can't know or be like extremely well versed in everyone that you're interviewing. And that's also part of the fun part. You don't want to only just talk to people that you know. But I can tell a lot of the times when a guest of yours like doesn't really know anything about your show. And then they're just like, they either are like, oh God, why am I here? Or they're like, oh my God, this is going to be so fun.
Yes.
And you can really catch that moment within the first 5 minutes of like how silly someone's going to get with you guys.
Yeah.
And if they don't get silly, then it's just you guys talking to each other and reacting on what they're saying, which is so great. Like, I wish I had like a podcast buddy who's always like,
that's the thing I'm grateful for the most is having somebody there with me because it just makes everything, like I was saying, ad reads to interviewing somebody. I mean, it's like I was doing a podcast yesterday and I had to pee and I was like, I'm going to go pee. You guys keep talking. And they just kept talking. I came back and I'll clean it up in the edit. Nobody ever knew I peed.
There was one time when
talked about pee a lot today. I'm not like a pee guy, just for the record.
Clearly you are. How much water are we drinking today?
I would say 2 liters.
Okay.
Something like that.
There was a time when I was recording a podcast on my computer upstairs and I don't know how this happened. I mean, I do. I was just didn't fucking dot my T's.
I have no idea how this happened.
I dot my T's and cross my I's. And my fucking computer started dying. And it was a very...
So just to be clear, dotting your T's and crossing.
Yeah, that's very PS, I'm saying. It was like, well, I fucked
sorry,
up.
No. Sorry. Crossing your T's and dotting your I's to you is making sure your computer's plugged into the wall.
Yeah, dude. Like, basic
that's the
shit.
Top level quality, like, control we have going on.
Batteries in the recorder and my computer's not going to die. Okay. Like, dogs are locked. Everybody knows, mm-hmm. like, the next hour is... And it was a paid podcast with, like, a really big doctor. You know, it was, like, mm-hmm. talking about something very serious. Mm-hmm. And something that I was very interested in. We'd booked it, like, months in advance. And I couldn't... Or there was, like, something wrong with my charger or something. But my computer started to die. Mm-hmm. And I never, ever want to, like, look at my phone or type when I'm interviewing someone, obviously, because it's so rude. But my mom was downstairs. I was like, you have to bring my computer charger upstairs. But I was like, but you can't. They can't see that you're coming. My mom fucking snuck into my bedroom and army crawled.
No way. With a MacBook charger in her teeth like a knife. Like,
And then trying not to laugh at that was so... fucking hard as this doctor's talking to me about, like, fucking infant cord blood and shit.
So you're like, I love what you're saying with the whole harvesting egg thingy, but my mommy's here with my charger now. So, but still.
What it was, I was like, I can't fucking believe that I'm like, I'm a baby, number one. Yeah. And then it was like, my mom is always like, oh my God, that sweet little woman was army crawling.
I'm imagining her with the magnetic end of the MacBook charger, and she's on the other side of a couch and she's throwing it, hoping the magnet will stick, like Indiana Jones style or something.
Oh my God. Fucking podcast.
The things we do for this hellish life of podcasting. Nobody said it was easy.
No, it's a challenge. I mean, mm-hmm. We got to drive all the way over here sometimes.
Oof, girl.
Like, come in.
Or I have to do an interview after this at 12.
I know we're going to end here, but I want you to tell the people where they can find the Substack and what it's called. We're just the Jason Stewart.
Yeah, my Substack is themjeans.substack.com.
Oh, I thought it was Jason Stewart.
Well, that's the URL. That's my name.
So we're still sticking with, okay. So it's
But the name of it is, then it's just Jason Stewart. But you can just Google Jason Stewart Substack or follow me on Instagram, Twitter.
Have we picked a color scheme?
Yeah, it's kind of a blue and brown.
Okay.
Blue and brown. Don't laugh at those fucking colors. What the fuck? But it looks cool. It looks cool.
The same, like, blue Pantone as the How Long Gone podcast blue, or we went different blue? Because I would like that. So
it's
you
not
a little...
dissimilar. It's pretty close, yeah.
I like that. I was going to say, if you use that same blue, but then...
A little continuity, but not a full...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's great. The vibe. But yeah, I'm going to be doing lots of writing, food and non-food writing on there.
Great. Thanks, yeah. Jason.
Thank you.
Take care.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, concludes this week's episode of Everything is the Best. I hope you enjoyed it. Please rate, review, subscribe, all that stuff. Maybe leave a comment. But remember, shitty comments are for shitty people. Go ahead and follow me on Instagram at Pia Barangini. And I hope you have a fabulous, fabulous rest of your day. Love you. Ciao.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.